Good morning. Let's pray together. Father, we acknowledge that we're here in your presence and by your invitation. For that, we're grateful. And now we pray that the words of our mouths and the thoughts of our hearts will please you. In the name of Jesus, our precious Savior, we pray. Amen. So, how many of you guys think that sheep are cute? Apparently Nori, that's Nori over there on the far side. Apparently Nori's an internet sensation. You ever heard of her? She's got a tilted head, a silly smile on her face, like she's posing for some kind of a headshot, right? And then there are some lambs frolicking. Isn't that a great word, frolicking? And then there's a picture of Jesus cuddling this little lamb. How cool is that, right? So how many of you guys think sheep are cute? Now, you're wrong. How many of you guys would be annoyed if someone called you a sheep? Seriously, would that bother you? If you look up what it means to be called a sheep, it means stuff like someone who follows the crowd without thinking, someone who is easily influenced or controlled, someone who lacks independence, lacks critical thinking, someone who is a mindless conformist, someone who's just weak. So would it bother you to be called a sheep? Bunch of sheep, right? It ticked me off. And yet, we quote Psalm 23 with reverent smiles and smiles on our faces, almost like we really believe it. The Lord is my shepherd, which means I'm calling myself a sheep. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Really? Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need, I lack nothing. You buy that? He makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside quiet waters, refreshes my soul, he says. But saying that, wouldn't that imply that we're just admitting we're a bunch of sheep? If you're calling God a shepherd, aren't you calling yourself a sheep? And wouldn't that imply that we want nothing, that we lack nothing, that we have all that we need? Do you believe that? Do you live that way? And wouldn't that imply that we're actually following him willingly? We follow him willingly. Do you live that way? I think it's kind of an offensive psalm, an offensive prayer, when you stop to think about it. Now, I suppose I've always had kind of a love-hate relationship with the 23rd Psalm. When I was really young, I'd say the words without wincing. But then when I was in high school, we moved to the coast of Oregon. We had a little farm, and we had some sheep up on our top land. And one of my jobs also during the summer was to move some irrigation pipe in a large field for a neighboring farmer. In a huge field where there were just massive numbers of sheep. That's where they grazed. And I learned that sheep are really, really stupid. Kind of like stupid on steroids. Sheep are as dumb as bricks. If your fences aren't any good, sheep are just going to wander off and get lost. And others, if one wanders and they see it, they're prone to just get behind them and follow along. They've got this amazing ability to follow and no ability to navigate or find their way back. One of them gets scared, they just all get scared. They panic and stampede. Sometimes they'll run right into a fence. I have read that, I've not seen this, but I've read that if they get really scared and there's a cliff, they might just run off the cliff. Now, I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me. They're dumb. Sometimes they'll get their heads stuck in a fence. Instead of backing out, they'll just keep pushing forward futilely until they just wear out and die. Sometimes they'll lay down and they'll get their backs a little bit too low. The ground is even and they just get stuck there. They can't roll back onto their feet. And they'll just lay there and die. Most of the pictures that we have of sheep, they look pretty clean. But guys, their wool collects dirt and burrs and parasites. And if you had a big wool coat on and you refused to take it off before using the facilities, it would get pretty dirty, wouldn't it? I don't want to be called a sheep. I've been around sheep. stupid on steroids. And they don't even have a clue how stupid they are. They don't know what they don't know. They just know what they know, which isn't much. Which I suppose describes a lot of us. But my love-hate relationship with Psalm 23 goes deeper than that, because bottom line, I'm not always comfortable submitting to a shepherd. Are you? Sometimes I don't want a shepherd, an advisor maybe, that I can call on when I think I need him in really hard times, but a shepherd is kind of controlling, right? See, sometimes that notion of the Lord is my shepherd clashes with some of our fundamental cultural values. On the one hand, there's this older cultural value of self-reliance, self-control, autonomy. Man needs to pull himself up by his own bootstraps, stand on his own two feet, make his own way in the world, dig his own way out of the holes that he finds himself in. We're not sheep. Man up, be strong, be courageous, right? Doesn't that kind of clash with the Lord is my shepherd? On the other hand, there's this newer cultural value of be true to yourself. Believe in yourself. It's your life. You do you. You're not a sheep. No one can tell you who you are. Don't let anyone define you. You live your own truth. Create your own path. You do what makes you happy. If it feels right to you, it is right for you. I'll do what's right in my own eyes. Thank you. Who made you the boss of me? I'm the boss of me. I get to choose who I am. I don't have to accept what I was assigned at birth or how anyone else wants to define me. We're not sheep. Any of that in you? Doesn't that kind of clash with the Lord is my shepherd? Oh. So we want to hire God as an advisor, maybe. But we're not always sure that we want him to be in control when we don't hire him. A shepherd? But the deal is, guys, sometimes our cultural values clash with reality. We discover that maybe we're not smart enough or good enough or strong enough to shepherd ourselves. I don't think you're smart enough or good enough or strong enough to shepherd yourself. I know that I'm not. Nor is any other man or woman smart enough or strong enough or good enough to shepherd you. I think only the Creator, the Designer, is smart enough, good enough, strong enough to shepherd us. He made us. Do you buy that? Do you let him? There's a different path, 23rd Psalm. I don't have time to unpack all of it, so I'm just going to pick out some of the biggest pieces. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. Not just the Lord without caps. If you're reading an English Bible, they spell Lord with all caps, which looks a little weird, doesn't it? They do that because in the original Hebrew, the psalm was written in Hebrew, not English. The Hebrew there doesn't have the word for Lord, Adonai. It has the word Yahweh, which you might translate the I am. Kind of like the name of God. They put Lord in there with all caps because the Jews wouldn't actually say the word Yahweh. The name is too holy to be spoken by human lips. So when they would see that word Yahweh, they would say something like, the Lord, blessed be he. Yahweh, not some other wannabe God. Yahweh, the creator God, the transcendent, all-powerful, all-knowing, perfectly holy, perfectly good God. David says, that's the one who's my shepherd. For some reason, the God who spoke the universe into existence, the God who has always been and always will be, that God cares enough for a speck like me that he wants to shepherd me. Go figure. Can you grasp the audacity of David's words? Can you embrace the audacity of those words for yourself? If we are as pitiful to God as sheep are to us, why would God care? But he does, says Jesus. And because he's the creator God, the transcendent, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-good God, who always has and always has been and always will be. I choose to follow him, says David. I choose him as my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, he says. I shall not want. That's the way the old King James Bible puts it. The New Living Translation says, I have all that I need. New International Version says, I lack nothing. Do you buy that? Do you believe that? Do you live that way? I think we live like our wants are insatiable. In fact, these words are almost un-American. I need a new truck. I need a bigger 401k. I need some hair. I need an iPhone 17 Pro Max. I need the weather gods to stop yanking our chains. 85 degree today, 50 tomorrow, right? But maybe there's a difference between what I want and what I need. You think? What if what we really need most, that's what God freely gives? What if? Maybe this guy named Tozer was right when he said this: if I have everything but God, I don't have anything at all. If I have nothing except God, then I have everything. Maybe. Maybe I really do lack nothing that I really need if the Lord is my shepherd. Do you? Verses 2 and 3. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. Don't you like those THs? That's the old King James Bible. That used to be English. How about he lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my nephesh, says the Hebrew, my soul. King James makes it kind of sounds like God forces you to take a nap, right? I don't think it's what it likely means. You can train a dog to sit, to lie down. Sheep are too stupid. They lie down when they've had plenty to eat, plenty to drink, and they don't feel threatened by wild animals or not being pestered by bugs. So the shepherd makes sure they have enough to eat and drink and make sure they feel safe, which enables them to rest in fields of green grass. And then he leads them to quiet waters, peaceful streams. He doesn't drive them. He leads them. Because if God has to drive you somewhere, it means you're not trying to follow him. You get it? If God has to drive you, it means you don't get it. You're not choosing God as your shepherd. Now, Randy's been my preaching partner for 20 years or so. Randy and I have always leaned on this guy named Kenneth Bailey. He's a PhD in New Testament from Princeton. He spent 40 years living and teaching the New Testament in the Middle East. And he helps us look at stories with Middle Eastern eyes because they were written by people with Middle Eastern eyes. And Bailey says that this leading sheep is a big deal. In Egypt, he says, where there is no open pasture land, he says, I've seen shepherds drive sheep from behind with sticks. We used to drive sheep in Oregon. But in the open wilderness of the Holy Land, the shepherd walks slowly ahead of the sheep and either plays his own tune on a pipe or he sings his own little call, his own little tune. And he says the sheep appear to be attracted by the voice of the shepherd, which they know, and they're eager to follow. In fact, he says it's a common practice for different shepherds to gather at noon around some kind of a spring or a well. The sheep mingle, and they drink, and they rest. At any one time, one of the shepherds will decide to leave, and he gives his call, and his sheep will separate themselves from the mixed flock. And they will immediately follow their shepherd wherever he leads them. 1,000 years after this psalm was written by David, there was a man who claimed to be the good shepherd. And that good shepherd said this, He says the sheep recognize his voice and they come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. And after he's gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They'll run from him because they don't know his voice. You know who said that? It's Jesus. But we're going to get back to that. David says, he leads me beside peaceful streams. Bailey helped us out there too. Now, even though we had a few sheep on our farm out there in Oregon, and even though I walked around sheep while changing irrigation pipe, I didn't know that they were so skittish around water. Apparently, they're afraid to drink from a stream if the water's moving too fast. If it looks dangerous, it scares them. So according to Bailey, the shepherd looks for still waters. Or if the stream is just too fast, sometimes they'll dig a little channel, and then they'll create this little pool where the water is quiet so the sheep can drink. So you've got this picture of green meadows and quiet waters, which sounds to some people a little boring. I mean, you want mountains to climb, white waters to traverse, adventures, challenges, giants to slay, right? Until the mountains are too formidable and the rapids are too wicked and the challenges and the giants are too big to slay. And if you haven't been there yet, you will be. Which is why this psalm is usually prayed in foxholes or hospital rooms or funeral homes. We're in church where we just mouth the words without thinking about what we're saying. And we kind of treat this shepherd like an emergency kit. Call on when we think we need him. Foolishly. Verse 3. He restores my soul. I like the old King James on that one. I like it better than he refreshes my soul or he renews my strength. Because this verse isn't about a pep talk from God or a cold Gatorade or a great night's sleep or a trip to the beach or a hot stone massage. Something that makes you feel refreshed. It's more like he turns me back. He brings me back. He nudges my soul to repent, to return to him when it strays. Which my soul does a lot. And you wonder, why doesn't he just let us go? Why does God care? Why doesn't his patience with us fade? Why doesn't his love for us wane? If you think about it, it's a bewildering thing to be loved by God. Almost 200 years ago, there was a very famous preacher by the name of Charles Spurgeon. Now, some of what Spurgeon says is pretty annoying to me, but I think he kind of captured what David was trying to say. He says, God is a restoring God. He brings my wandering spirit back when I forsake his ways. And having done that, he leads me even more carefully than before, guiding me along right paths for his name's sake, which is the next line in David's psalm. You ever pondered the words of that old hymn? It's one of the old hymns that I like because I resonate with it. Ode to Grace. How great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. No kidding. Let that grace now, like shackles, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee, God. Because I'm prone to wander. I feel it, Lord. I'm prone to leave the God I love. So here's my heart, God. Take and seal it, please, for thy courts above. That's he restores my soul, guys. Thank God. And have you ever thought about what it costs God to restore your soul? Why would God at such unfathomable cost? And after restoring my soul, bringing me back when I wander, he guides me along right paths for his name's sake. Know why? Because here it is, guys. Any path that you choose that is contrary to his right path is not going to end well for you. We say things like, be true to yourself. Believe in yourself. It's your life. You do you. That's not going to end well for you, guys. We say things like, no one can tell you who you are. Don't let anyone define you. You live your truth. You define your own path. Guys, that's not going to end well. We say things like, you do what makes you happy. If it feels right for you, it is right for you. You say things like, who made God the boss of me? Guys, that's not going to end well. You know why? Because eventually our fantasies are going to clash with God's realities. The life well lived is the life we were created by God to live. Verse 4. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, he says. I will not be afraid. You will be afraid if he's not beside you. But he says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid when he's with me, when I'm following him. Here's the deal, guys. Here's the thing about sheep. Sheep are virtually defenseless. I don't like looking at myself that way, as virtually defenseless. I mean, some animals have teeth, claws, some can kick, tear, bite. Some can run really fast, some can climb. Some can hide really, really well. Sheep. Sheep either need a bunch of other sheep around, so maybe the predator picks one of them, or they need a shepherd. I don't like admitting there are predators I can't handle until I come across a predator I can't handle. Guys, there are giants that we're going to face that we will not be able to slay. Do you believe that? Even though I walk through the darkest valley, he says, what's the toughest, scariest place you've ever been in? Have you ever been in a spot where you know for a fact that you have absolutely no control over the outcome? Maybe it's a financial spot. Maybe some sickness or disease. Maybe some physical danger that's bigger than you can handle. Vehicle out of control. Job loss that you didn't see coming. A kid that you can't straighten out. Guys, one of the most precious gifts, the transcendent, all-powerful, all-knowing, perfectly holy, perfectly good God gives us is, I will be with you always, so I don't have to be afraid, David says. At least my fear won't win, because I know the shepherd's with me, and he's enough. Guys, the greatest enemies we have are not physical. There are forces out there that hate God, and they hate whatever God loves, which means they hate you. And they are stronger than you and smarter than you, and if you fight them alone, you are hosed. But even when I walk through the darkest valley, no matter who's in it or what's in it, I will not be afraid if God is by my side. You buy that? Wouldn't you love to feel it? In fact, verse 6, he says, I know that your goodness and your love are going to follow me all the days of my life. And I know that I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord. I'm going to dwell in the house of Yahweh, the real God, forever. You ever been followed? You ever been followed by someone or someones who make you nervous? Or have you ever been followed by someone or someones who, you know, they have your back? And you know that there's nothing in front of you that's bigger or badder than the ones who have your back. What would it feel like to have God in front of you and his goodness and love behind you? Now, guys, this psalm was written by David, who became king in Israel, about 1,000 years before Jesus. And David's words were treasured by followers of Yahweh for centuries before Jesus. And then along comes Jesus. Foreshadows. God in the bod. And when Jesus came, demons were terrified by him. Winds were controlled by him with a word. Jesus could feed crowds with a happy meal. He had this miracle power over disease. He could raise the dead. Jesus predicted when he was going to die, how he was going to die. Jesus predicted when he was going to raise, and Jesus pulled it off. And Jesus says to us, I am, Yahweh, I am that good shepherd. You know that Lord is my shepherd stuff in Psalm 23? Jesus said, that's me now. And Jesus went out there building a different kind of kingdom. He went out there redefining what it meant to do life with God. He went out there showing us what real life looks like. And then he says to us, follow me. You pick me as your shepherd. Here's how Jesus put it. He says, I tell you the truth. This is God's truth, he says. I am the gate for the sheep. Only those who come in through me will be saved. They will come in and go freely, and they're going to find good pastures. Because my purpose is to give you guys a rich and satisfying life, which I believe is the only shot you've got for a rich and satisfying life. Jesus says, I'm not only the door the sheep have to pass through, I am the good shepherd. I am that Psalm 23 guy. In fact, he says, the good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Can you imagine that? Why would Yahweh sacrifice his life for critters as stupid and ornery as we can be? What kind of reckless love does that take? Jesus said a hired hand is going to run when he sees a wolf coming. He'll abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he's not really their shepherd. So the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs because he's only working for the money, doesn't really care about the sheep. But Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. They know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep, and he did. And they'll listen to my voice. And there'll be one flock with just one shepherd. Bottom line, I need the good shepherd. Do you? You need the good shepherd. I mean, sometimes we say to ourselves, I've got this on my own. I'll follow my own path, thank you. But the reality is, we wander off, and sometimes we flat out get lost, and there are people following us, and they get lost too. Sometimes those paths we choose lead directly into degradation and danger. Sometimes we follow the wrong leaders. We follow other sheep. Go figure. Or we just blaze our own paths. How's it working out for you? And all of us eventually come against barriers we can't scale, enemies we can't defeat, dangers we can't escape on our own. And when we fail, which we do repeatedly, we can't fix ourselves. We need our souls restored a lot. So guys, here it is. All of us are going to follow someone. All of us are going to follow something. So please choose well. Some of us choose ourselves. We think we can shepherd ourselves, right? For some of us, that looks like self-reliance, self-control, autonomy. I'm just going to pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I'm going to stand on my own two feet. I'm going to man up, be strong, be courageous. For others, it's kind of like, it's your life, you do you. Don't let anyone define you, not even God. You live your truth. You do what makes you happy. You do what's right in your own eyes. Both of those are stupid. None of us are strong enough, smart enough, good enough to be our own shepherds. We were designed by God. We were created to do life with God. Don't live in a fantasy world. It's not going to take you where you want to go. Others choose another person, another cause, some other little g God to be their shepherd. But guys, listen, none of them is good enough, smart enough, strong enough to be your good shepherd. No person is. Those shoes can only be filled by one, the one who designed us, the one who created us, the one who loves us unfathomably. Yahweh is my shepherd, David says. Good call. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. Same call. God in a bod. The Lord is my shepherd. Which means when we live it out, I have all that I actually really need. And he lets me rest in green meadows, and he leads me beside peaceful streams, because for some strange reason, he just keeps on loving us. Why? I don't know. He restores my soul over and over and over again. Why would he die for me to make it so? It's inexplicable. But thank you. Guides me along the right paths, because those other paths that I'm prone to wander, well, they're not going to lead where I really want to go. And even though I inevitably walk through some of the darkest valleys, he's going to be there with me, so my fear won't win. He protects me. He prepares a feast for me even when I'm surrounded by my enemies. He honors me, really? Anointing my head with oil for some reason, my cup overflows with his blessings. And his goodness and his mercy, his unfailing love, are going to pursue me every day of my life. And I will dwell in his house forever. Guys, this 23rd Psalm is not about those moments when you need a little extra help. It is who we are and what we do. We are Jesus followers. And I know it's absolutely countercultural. I know this attitude requires an absolutely profound humility. But guys, we're talking about God, the transcendent, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-holy, all-grace God. And he deserves nothing less, right? Choose well. Let's pray. Father, that you would desire to be our shepherd is mind-blowing. That you continue to be our shepherd even though we wander so is mind-blowing. That you love us so much, that you sacrifice yourself for us, it's inexplicable, but you do. Give us the wisdom and the courage to be people of God. We love you dearly. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.